Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app, this is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's Donna Marie Doherty with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, it was an extremely busy night last night for the Donegal Fire Service as they responded to four call-outs. A record level of homelessness has been recorded in Ireland last month. Unregistered drinking water supplies are not being monitored by councils, creating a potential public health risk for consumers. And as Media Minister Catherine Martin today rejects claims that the government has handed RTE a blank cheque, a Midlands Northwest MEP doesn't believe the funding for the broadcaster is fair. These stories in full, plus more to follow. Chris Ashmore has all the latest in sport and Colm Fairter has a nooked. First in news, it was an extremely busy night last night for the Donegal Fire Service. They responded to a total of four incidents. Michaela Clark has more.
In the early hours of this morning, a blaze broke out at a house in the Lismonahan area of Letterkenny at around 5am. It's believed it was a derelict building. The fire service worked to bring the fire under control and Gardaí have confirmed that investigations are continuing. There are no reports of any injuries. A short time later, between 5.30 and 6am, the fire service was again tasked, this time to a fire at two sheds on the Pierce Road at the Old Bacon Factory site in Letterkenny. Councillor Jimmy Cavanagh says there have been reports of antisocial behaviour in the locality. He believes efforts need to be made to secure the site.
On an ongoing basis, there were people in that area complaining about antisocial behaviour and groups of youth gathering there and so on, and partying and so on going on there. There was a lot of concern about that. So I'm not sure if that is in any way related to what happened last night, but there has been certainly previous reports and concern expressed previously about it. I think that maybe we need to have a discussion around making that site more secure. I don't know if there's any other overtones around what happened last night, but that has been an ongoing issue with antisocial behaviour there.
The Donegal Fire Service was also last night tasked after a fire alarm detected smoke in the attic of a HSE-owned property housing elderly residents in Meanmore, Dunloe. All residents were safely evacuated and upon further inspection, the fire service declared it a false alarm. A diabetic blackout in Inishowen also required the services of the fire service.
The Department of Housing has today published its June 2024 monthly homeless report and homeless quarterly progress report for quarter two of this year. 14,303 people were registered as homeless across Ireland, a new record. However, figures are down in the Northwest region. With more, here's Donal Kavanagh.
Homelessness levels in the Northwest have seen a decrease in the month of June compared to May. The number of adults seeking emergency accommodation fell by 14% to a total of 137. A similar trend was seen in Donegal, with 53 adults seeking emergency accommodation, a drop of 11%. 24 families required emergency accommodation across the Northwest region. That was one less than the previous month. However, the number of children in such accommodation has remained the same at 56. The figures outlined in this report only pertain to those in or seeking emergency accommodation and excludes the hidden homeless.
Unregistered drinking water supplies are not being monitored by councils, creating a potential public health risk for consumers. There are 37 small private supplies registered in Donegal. The number of water private group schemes with E. coli failures went up in 2023. Today's EPA report shows 22 of these schemes, one being on Tory Island, failed the standard for E. coli, putting the health of around 4,600 consumers at risk. Environmental Protection Agency Programme Manager Noel Byrne says firms with a private well aren't being checked.
It also covers small private supplies, which are effectively businesses or premises that have their own well and supply water to consumers, such as maybe a nursing home or self-catering accommodation. Now, what the EPA report highlights is that many businesses that have their own well are not registered with the local authority. If they're not registered with the local authority, they aren't being monitored by the local authority, and this is creating a public health risk for consumers.
Meanwhile, Uisce Éireann continues to appeal to people in Letterkenny to conserve water. A water restriction was in place in the town from 7 o'clock yesterday evening until 11am this morning. The utility says it was experiencing a high level of demand which was impacting properties in the Tully Gay and Bomning areas. Speaking about conserving water over the coming days, Uisce Éireann's Paul Kilcoyne says efforts are going on to replenish the reservoirs.
At times in recent days, Ishgairn has experienced high levels of demand for water in the Letterkenny area, and this, unfortunately, has resulted in a small number of customers experiencing outages and low pressure. In order to help us maintain normal supplies, I'm appealing to customers to be mindful of their water usage. We need to allow supply to catch up with demand to enable reservoirs to fully replenish.
As Media Minister Catherine Martin today rejects claims that the government has handed RTE a blank cheque, a Midlands Northwest MEP doesn't believe the funding of the broadcaster is fair. It was agreed that RTE will be funded through a hybrid model with a guaranteed €725 million to be allocated over the 3 years. Government says it's important to ensure public service media is properly funded. Well, commercial media outlets have complained about the move, saying they also provide public service broadcasting. Minister Catherine Martin says funding's also being provided to the commercial sector.
We're looking at the fixed penalty notice instead. That's something that is provided for, but because of that database being so archaic and that problem with anonymity, it can't be done because you're doing a fixed penalty notice to the occupier of a house in many cases. So I think that could help with the compliance too. I've actually done more for other media than any previous minister. You know, it's the access through the sound and vision, which comes from the TV licence revenue. But I've added an additional, I think it's just over €28 million on top of that in my 4 years as minister. But I am very, very cognizant of the concerns.
However, on today's 9 till noon show, Midlands Northwest MEP Kieran Mullooly says RTE effectively has more funding now than they did previously.
Morning, Greg. Listen, I'm not happy with the package as announced yesterday. I agree with John that it was inevitable that something was going to happen and the deal was going to have to be done because RTE is practically broke. We know that for some time. But you will know from our previous conversations, Greg, that I had in mind a format which would be principally the television licence going to news and current affairs, not just in RTE, but in TV3, in all independent Virgin Media and all independent radio stations around the country. And then it was my view that the other aspects of RTE programming should be split up, and drama and areas like that in particular should be covered by the commercial advertising. Remember, RTE can still take advertising with this package, I presume, over the coming years. They're not going to stop taking ads and sponsorship as well as this government top up. So now they've got three forms of funding. In the past, you could say they had two main forms of funding. Now they have three forms of funding. I don't think it adds up. I don't think it's fair, to be honest about it. I do think RTE deserved the licence fee money for one particular reason, news and current affairs.
The director of the Northern and Western Regional Assembly says it's imperative the government follow through on its commitment to the TEN-T project. Earlier this week, Cabinet cleared the way for the three components of the project, the Bonaghy Link, the Twin Towns Bypass and the Manor Cunningham to Lifford Road to go to planning and CPO. Dennis Kelly, who previously worked with Donegal County Council, told Greg Hughes on today's 9 till noon show that this must be backed with funding and also implemented in a way that maximises the potential for cross-border cooperation.
We need to recognise the gaps in the investment that is coming to the northern and western region. Mm-hmm. We need to acknowledge that there are communities that are cross-boundary, and we need to recognise the huge importance of the northwest city of Letterkenny, Derry, Strabane. And we need to be providing the infrastructure that links the likes of the northwest city region with Galway, with Dublin, with Belfast. So we do need the TEN-T. It is moving forward. It is fantastic to hear that. I think it's really positive news. The A5 obviously is another additional factor in that.
You can listen to the full discussion between Greg and Dennis Kelly on our website, highlandradio.com. A wax figure made to resemble Sinead O'Connor unveiled yesterday is to be removed. The National Wax Museum has announced that it's launching a new project to create a more accurate representation. The design team met this morning and released a statement saying they can do better. The team says they've listened to public reaction and agreed the figure does not fully capture Sinead's unique presence and essence. Today marks 1 year since Sinead O'Connor's death, and the model was an attempt to honour her. The Donegal ladies football manager has confirmed he's considering running in the next general election for Fine Gael. John McNulty previously contested the Donegal electoral area at the local elections but failed to take a seat. And in 2014, he was the Fine Gael nominee in a Shannon by-election but asked people to not vote for him after a controversy developed around his nomination to the board of the Irish Museum of Modern Art. On today's 9 till noon show, Mr. McNulty told Greg Hughes he recently met with the Taoiseach and is considering the situation very carefully.
I met with the teacher, Simon Harris, last Friday at McGill Summer School. Had a cup of tea with him and we had a chat and we had a good conversation on things. So for the minute, I think the conventions are the end of August, so it's something that maybe is on my mind at the moment.
Will your name be in the hat?
It's possible. It's possible, all right. There may be a few things yet to iron out, but it's possible.
Do we know if it's going to be one candidate strategy or two?
I mean, past history has been two, so I'd imagine it will be two this time as well, I would think. That's because Donegal is a big county, so I'd expect it to be two.
There's a lot of Fine Gael voters out there, a lot of Fine Gael voters in and around where you're based. You would feel that you could tap into them significantly, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's about having them. There's also, you have to look at it as the overall thing for Donegal. It's not just Fine Gael voters. You're looking to the majority of Donegal people that you can give them something to believe in if you did go forward. And I think you have to think of all those things when you're thinking about it.
The Fine Gael Selection Convention in Donegal is taking place on Monday the 26th of August and nominations are closing on Monday the 12th of August. The time is now coming up to 12 minutes past five. We're going to go for a short break and Chris Ashmore will be back with all the latest in sport. The time's just gone 14 minutes past five here on Highland Radio. Chris Ashmore is bringing all the latest in sport.
Thanks, Donna Marie. We begin with the Olympics and sprint hurdler Sarah Lavin and golfer Shane Larry will carry the Irish flag for tonight's opening ceremony at the Olympic Games along the River Seine in Paris. Larry says carrying the Irish flag somewhat makes up for his disappointment at last week's Open Championship.
Don't get me wrong, the first few days of this week were pretty hard and they were pretty, like, you know, I was a bit sour and you're waking up in the morning, you start to think what you could have done differently last weekend. But, you know, to get here and the excitement that's around something like this, and to be honest, I'm looking forward to getting down to the village now and just seeing the excitement around the whole place and, living it up for the next sort of 24 hours, it'll be pretty cool.
Well, Team Ireland has 133 competitors. Four of them are from Donegal. Mark English is contesting the 800 metres next week. It's his third Olympics. Rachel Darrow will be in badminton. John Kelly in the shot put and Kelly McGrory in the mixed and women's 400 metres relays. Meanwhile, Letterkenny's Theresa McDade is the Irish athletics team manager and Dan McGee, who is Rachel Darrow's uncle, is the badminton performance director. And there's a number of other Donegal connections. Sligo swimmer Mona McSherry, of course, spent her time in school in Ballyshannon and with the Marlins Swimming Club, also in Ballyshannon, and Kira McGing, who has Rathmullen connections. She takes part in the diving. And Jude Gallagher from Tyrone is one of the Irish boxers, while Derry's Daniel Coyle is a member of the show jumping squad. Meanwhile, English-based Katie Georgeton-Levy, whose father hails from Mount Charles, has been named in the Irish team for the Paralympic Games later in the summer, and so too has Drumkeen's cyclist Mitchell McLaughlin. In Gaelic games, captain Sean Kelly has been named to start in the Galway midfield for Sunday's All-Ireland Senior Football Championship final with Armagh. Galway are otherwise changed. Armagh named their team last night with Conair Mackin starting in defence of Peter McGrain. Well, the countdown to the big game continues. Michael McMullen of Gaelic Life feels that both Armagh and Galway will go into the game, believing that they can lift the Sam Maguire Cup following victories over Kerry and Dublin, respectively, along the way.
Galway and Armagh will fully believe they can win the All-Ireland, and that's not just a manager standing at the front of a meeting saying that just to make his players believe. They will genuinely believe. Like, Armagh have beaten Kerry, and the amount of times that Armagh haven't been able to win those tight games, that, you know, the Donegal listeners will be able to, you know, that Ulster final, they weren't able to see it out. They did see out Kerry. So there's the belief. Likewise, Galway, beat Dublin. I didn't see it coming. I'm not sure how many people themselves predicted it. Maybe if you dug deep into the Galway players' mindset, how much did they really believe it? So it has to multiply the other way. Now that they've got past that. And then obviously had a really, really tough game with Donegal, who, you know, were maybe my fancy team to win the All-Ireland out of the last four, to be honest, out of the four teams left. So the fact that Galway have beaten them, that's even more belief for them.
And you can hear that interview in full from the Score programme last night. It's in the sports section of the Highland Radio website. In soccer, in the SSE Airtricity League this evening, there's a restricted Premier Division programme due to European games with Irish teams during the week. Bohemians host Dundalk, Waterford are away to Drogheda. In the First Division, Finn Harps are on the road for the third successive weekend. This time in Limerick against Treaty United. Harps are fourth in the table and are seeking to consolidate their promotion playoff position against a side who are eighth. Here's former Harps captain and regular soccer analyst for Highland Radio, Declan Boyle.
It's all to play for, you know, and really important now is how you finish out the season, really. You know, this is, you know, the quarter, last quarter of the season, the most important part is, and now you need to hit form where you get good results both home and away, you know, and that's going to be an important one. And you know, crucially, it'll probably come down maybe to the last one or two games, you know. So,
elsewhere, Cork City continue their procession towards the First Division title at home to Kerry tonight. Second place Athlone go to Cove. Bray host Wexford. And there'll be live updates from the Markets Field on tonight's game between Treaty United and Finn Harps. Michael Cook will be there for Highland Radio Sport. Meanwhile, the preliminary round of the Letterkenny Community Centre Community Summer Cup gets underway this evening with Tramahal facing Alia at 7:30. In cricket, at tea on day two of the test at Stormont, Ireland were 200 for 8 in their first innings, and they are still 10 runs shy of Zimbabwe's first innings total. On to golf, and Pádraig Harrington's the best of the Irish on 3 under in day two of the Senior Open. KJ Choi is the course leader at Carnoustie on 7 under. Darren Clark currently 1 over par. Paul McGinley won't see the weekend after being 16 over par. And Seamus Power's second round at the 3M Open gets underway just before 7 o'clock Irish time. He's 2 under par. Andrew Novak is the new course leader on 9 under. And in motorsport, world champion Max Verstappen was quickest in the first practice at Formula One's Belgium Grand Prix. He was just over half a second quicker than the McLaren Oscar Piastri. Finally, in golf, the annual Finn Harps Academy Golf Classic will take place on Sunday, 18th of August in Balbofay and Stranorlar Golf Club. The winners of this year's Classic will claim a round of golf and an overnight stay at the K Club in Kildare. Other prizes include a four-ball at Newlands Cross Golf Club in Dublin, a four-ball in Letterkenny, Dunfanaghy, Greencastle, Portsallan and Bundoran Golf Clubs. Entry fee for the competition is €100 per team, and you can contact the golf club in Balbofay and Stranorlar on 07491 310 93 to book your place. And that, Donna Marie, is the sport for Friday evening. Sinead and Scale.
Gormaga Chris Augustinish and Nuke they call him Ferter.
Shamer Mahasa call him Ferter and Shaw and the Previous Guilty. Tajima Lady hit a conru negiliga, major le raktiokt, lahai plana la changus a guiltocht. Queen act plana la August Forbert Yavila. And Raktiacht awal lasu le Genevarhi, tachimar hulgas sir Udrus Achul, Irak Changa, August Kulturha, a Hossinch, Agnil se Sulyers, Salyasu Ur, Kijan Doi, a Kurter and Changa, con kin sigiltukt, Frij and Vilja, a Mahansha. Kurter le Fiskome Procis, Antrilla, Oskulcha, Lahai Gradam, Homersaja, and Oroctus, Fiha Fias Kahar, and Chartan Shaw. Jenan Gradam, Commersajan, Aratish, Kelluru, Eid Kajan, August, Har Irakti, a Carter, I Greek. In Arnion, the Commersajigelige Gaplion, a mass category Gradam, a Vienson, na Parsa Television, Nabliana, August Rai Radio, Nabliana. To Udras, the Giltic to Eglor Irahisho, Agriakti Pobble, August Kosti, Jonah, Erfod Nigeltic to the Comortus Nation to Gradam, the Giltic to Is Jesh Inta Asia the Agriakti Akajabra, a curry lahar, agus ahanta sa oil, don ober funta, a tatter shul aku in a bubble fane. To Ramsha Lyatan, Lyahan, a category sa comortus, Fentriak, Hoshilta, Torosurak, Champolak, agus Ralia, agus Spragter Gah, Agriakt, agus Kostia Jonah, Sigiltak, Lehirata, Sakurusja, agus ta gath olas ag siav an udarish. Ta trí mór amacht ag gheala ag taran siorin san ír húsgart. Tunol her a fla olu an jarru siart an sio ag dromór chond i hiroin. Agus bai amacht ag gheala ha gulior ar an clachan lia jardín sio hogin ag an eile maia an clachan leich. Agus bai gno a chul kaki ivin i laran inli ag fela an jarigal i non luhe a tala tosiart jardín a comai. Sin ma chud se eligolier slan agus banacht.
Thanks, Colm. Donegal County Council is again being urged to review a junction in Kilmacrenan where there's been several collisions in recent years. Two roads come out onto the N56, one from Trenta and the local church and school, the other from Milford. Councillor Michael McBride says while there has been several discussions about safety at the junction, after the latest there's been another incident involving a tourist. He said it's nothing short of a miracle that no one's been killed on the junction, where in many cases people are coming out of the two smaller roads, not knowing they're exiting onto the major primary route, the N56. He says after several promises in the past for a review, the council must act.
Over the last 7 or 8 years, there's probably been at least 7 or 8 serious accidents there. We're really lucky that nobody's been killed in any of them accidents, but I mean, they were just all instances where cars coming out from the side roads, from the Trenta side or the Milford side, failed to stop and, you know, just hit cars that were travelling on the N56. Something has to be done about it. The overhanging stop signs need to go on as a matter of urgency on both sides of that junction there. So if people that are travelling towards the junction can clearly see in front of them that they're, you know, it's a stop sign and that they don't drive straight across the N50.
One of the points he made was that it's not at all clear, especially for a visitor, that they're coming onto a main road, and that needs to be absolutely copper fastened because people are going out there not having any clue that they're about to hit one of the busiest roads in the county.
That's absolutely right. You know, I think myself that they should also be flashing speed signs further back from the junction as well. It needs a complete upgrade on both sides. What the long-term solution for it? We've heard all kinds of things about traffic lights and about different, you know, every one of them is both of their own merit. Probably would be a good enough idea, but it does cause other problems. And but you know, the very, very simple thing to do is to put overhead signs with arms across and a stop sign, and, you know, even there's a light flashing on it, to just make people aware that they're coming to a junction and there's a national road, you know, that they're coming to cross. Just before the election, there was one of my own election team was travelling on that road, and a tourist came out and hit him. So it's something that, you know, that's happening on a regular basis.
The Taoiseach says it would be odd for Ireland to send more than one nomination for the position of EU Commissioner. The government will nominate former Finance Minister Michael McGrath for the role, despite the EU Commission President looking for two names. Ursula von der Leyen has requested every member state nominate a man and a woman. However, Taoiseach Simon Harris says the government is standing by its selection.
Yes, President von der Leyen has asked for two names, and she did the last time as well. We've respectfully said to her that Ireland has made a decision in line with the treaties, as is our right, as to the Commission candidate we wish to send forward. On other occasions in the past, we've sent one name and the name has been a woman. But we have had to make an assessment as to who we believe is the best commissioner to send from Ireland. Michael McGrath was one of the most senior politicians in Ireland. He was the Minister for Finance. It was important that he would have his full concentration on preparing for the European Commission role and have a Minister for Finance who's preparing fully for the budget. So therefore, the fact that he stepped down from Cabinet, I think, just makes it would seem odd that you'd send more than one name considering those pretty particular set of circumstances.
Looking now to weather, a mix of clear spells and scattered showers this evening, some possibly heavy later on. Southwest winds will be mostly light to moderate. The showers will die out and then it will become mainly dry with clear spells for a time. Early in the night, the cloud will increase as a band of rain spreads from the west. To conclude this evening's news, it was an extremely busy night for the Donegal Fire Service as they responded to 4 call-outs, 2 of which were fires. The Department of Housing has today published its June 2024 monthly homeless report and homeless quarterly progress report for quarter 2 of this year. 14,303 people were registered as homeless across Ireland, a new record. Unregistered drinking water supplies are not being monitored by councils, creating a potential public health risk for consumers. There's 37 small private supplies registered in Donegal. And finally, as Media Minister Catherine Martin today rejects claims that the government has handed RTE a blank cheque, the Midlands Northwest MEP doesn't believe the funding to the broadcaster is fair. It was agreed that RTE would be funded through a hybrid model with a guarantee of €725 million to be allocated over 3 years. That's all for now from Highland Radio News. I'll be back with more headlines at 6 o'clock. The obituary notices this Friday evening, July 26th. The death has occurred of Mary Rainey, née Callaghan, formerly of Coal Hill, Newton Cunningham. Requiem Mass for Mary will be held in All Saints Church, Newton Cunningham tomorrow at 12 noon, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. The death has taken place of Noel McCauley, number 1 St Anne's Terrace, Sligo, formerly of Glencush Lifford. Removal from his former home at Glencush Lifford this evening at 6 p.m, going to Clonleigh Church of Ireland Lifford for reception, prayers and to repose overnight. Funeral service from there tomorrow afternoon at 2:30, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Clonleigh Church, care of Doris Crawford or Terence McClintock, funeral director. The house is strictly private, please. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.